Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 69 of Utopia to Me, with me, your host, Chris Locke. What's up? How's it going? Where are you? 69, dude, like Bill and Ted, you know? Classic number. This is, I can't believe we made it this far. Shout out to everybody that listens to this and passes it around and is so nice. This episode is great. It's with the super funny stand-up Jordan Foisy and writer for Vice.com and more. And look, where are you? Where are you? What are you listening to right now? Are you where are you? You're walking around. You're going for a jog, playing b-ball. Are you standing by a lake? Check this out. I picture some of you listening to this, and then you hit pause for a second. You're like, wait up. And then you jump into a lake. And I don't know if that lake is cold or warm, or if you sink or you swim, or if it's ice and you skate on it. Like, what? Where are you? I don't know. Where in the world is the Utopia to Me listener? You know, let me know. Here's the thing. We're going to dive right in and eat this podcast to bits. It's a long, huge one of basically Jordan and I just talking about everything like a bunch of nutcases. And you will see, it is fun. It's enjoyable. But check this out. What a hearty, delicious look. If you got a lot to do, put this on, because it's a hearty meal for sure. So we're going to dive into this, put some gravy on it, add some sodium, raise your blood pressure a bit, because this is episode 69. It's a delicious meal. Yum, yum. Eat it up. Here we are. Jordan Foisy. Enjoy.
This is all right.
Yeah, keeping the mic there is good because, you know, just room tone, but I think it's usually good.
Where? Like right here?
Yeah, yeah. It's different than the stage mic. You keep it a bit closer.
Bit closer to the chin.
Closer to the mouth.
Closer to the mouth, yeah. Not at all at the chin.
Closer
all
right. to the mouth.
Right yeah. near my teeth.
Yeah.
Like so close to my teeth.
Yeah, in fact, a podcast, this is a saying I have about Utopia to Me.
Can't wait.
Never a good podcast unless there's some teeth left on the mic.
Right.
Hey, do you want a plate for your tea bag?
Oh.
Or do you want to keep it? You like it dark.
I mean, I don't. I like it dark, like my mind, man. No, I'll take a plate. I'd like to get that tea bag out of there.
I like my men like I like my mind. Dark.
Dark. Dark and scattered.
Oh, I don't even give you a. Okay.
Buddy, look at how tough I am.
Yeah, you're tough.
I'm tough. I'm grabbing the tea bag with my bare fingers.
Everybody listening, oh, you already explained it. With bare fingers out of the hot, scalding, dark tea, Jordan took a tea bag.
My fingerprints are gone, man.
It was like an old myth, like a legend, like a man who took the teabag out.
Exactly.
Without his sword.
Did you hear? Did you hear about this man? He wandered into town, took all our teabags out.
Yeah.
What's our slurp policy on the podcast?
Hit it.
Yeah, I can slurp.
Are you a tea slurper?
That was a lot of drinking.
Yeah, that was drinking.
That was a gulp. That was a gulp. I can gulp.
He came into town, took all of our teabags out of the hot tea with his bare hands. Then he walked into lava that he did not survive.
That he did not survive. And then we were all like,
he got cocky with the tea bags.
And then we were all like, he took our tea bags into the lava. This is bogus, man.
Yeah. And then a dragon drank the lava and was like, just how I like my orange pico.
And he chilled out. That was a chill dragon.
Yeah, take it easy.
This is a nice couch, man. Very cozy.
Thanks, man. Was bought and assembled from IKEA, but assembled by Kathleen on her own. I wasn't home.
You weren't even home.
To be honest, most of the time she's more handy than me.
Oh, for sure.
She's Project City.
I feel like she's like, you know, she can see a project. She got a goal. She's going to organize it, take care of it.
Yeah.
And you're just kind of like, you're like, go for it.
Yeah. I'll just be here in the laundry doing the same thing the laundry does. Just, nothing.
Just watching it.
Just be filthy and piled onto crap.
Just checking them. Oh, almost dry. They're almost dry, Kathleen.
Yeah.
She's like painting.
No, I mean like, it's not even laundry day. I'm just in the hamper lying there because I'm about as valuable as a dirty shirt.
Yeah, you are a pile of dirty laundry.
In this place. Yeah. It's very nice.
Dude, I love it. This is very homey.
Yeah, thanks.
You should be very proud.
Kathleen would probably be like, it's not as clean as she wants it to be, but you're right. I like the hominess.
It's very, it's like the perfect amount of like lived in right now. Like yeah. It's not too crazy, but there's a little bit of like, oh, people live here. No,
yeah, they're trying to kid. We yeah. have a daughter. You can see her toys.
We got a kid, man.
We got a kid, man.
We got a badass knife wielding kid.
Yo, what am I going to do about this kid?
Yeah, this kid is trouble.
See, there's a vacuum beside that chair.
Yeah, what's that for?
Well, that's Kathleen's chair, and I've noticed that the last few days, the vacuum's not moved from there, and it's almost like she's building up.
She's ready to vacuum.
Yeah, she's like,
she just sits there powering
that's
up.
That's how much she likes, she worries about cleaning. She's starting to keep the cleaning products near her hand
on
zone.
Hand? Yeah. On hand? Yeah, her hand zone.
Yeah, it's like, you know what? When I, like, sit back on the couch, give me the TV remote, yeah. give me a book, give me my laptop, whatever.
She's you want like, all those things at once?
Well, I want, yeah, I want something to distract me. And
yeah.
I guess, yeah, okay, anyways, I'm talking a lot about, yeah, but, you know, she's like, I got a vacuum.
She just vacuumed. That's how she calms herself.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Yeah.
And now you know, listeners.
Who's oh, listeners? I thought yeah. you said, and now you know this nurse. And now you, I'm like,
wait, aren't you my nurse?
Yeah. Who is this podcast directed to, Chris? Just my nurse in the future.
I read this article yesterday. Mm-hmm. Did you guys read this? Anyone in The Guardian?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm there with you.
But it was not politics. It was not world politics. It was... Okay. Kirk Douglas is 100 now, and he was two nurses led him to the chair for his interview, and in the interview he just was like, I'm tired.
Yeah. Wasn't the headline, I can't believe I reached 100 yeah. on that one? I can't believe I reached, it's like neither can
it was
we,
very he does say a few things, and it's very nice. Very, very nice, obviously charismatic, kind man.
Yeah.
But yeah, the most of the interview was filler from stuff the interviewer knew about him already. Oh. I think
because he's probably
a fucking 100.
Yeah, he probably just showed up, like mumbled something, shit his pants, and then they're like, "All right, that's yeah. what we got right there."
Thanks, Kirk, big fan.
He's terrifying looking. How was the picture?
Yeah, well, yeah.
I mean,
you know,
I hope when I hit 100 that I'd still have my good looks. You know,
here's the thing: you guys that are trying to make it out there in Hollywood right now, fine. You're like, oh, I got to get Botox because I'm 45. No. Think about that Botox when you're 98. Yeah.
And it just looks like fossils that people found in a rock.
Yeah,
like,
but not just... fossils of humans.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like
fossils of bioluminous fish.
Yeah, exactly. Like those initial shells that they find on like coastlines. That's what your face looks like.
Yeah.
Like a 100-million-year-old fossil.
Yeah, like those those shells that still have like centipede legs.
Yeah, exactly.
To them.
Yeah, exactly. Like those? Your face looks like it was just dusted by a paleontologist. Like, ooh, look at that.
I'm glad you're good with Bernadette, by the way.
Bernadette,
she's really hyper today.
Oh, she's great.
She likes attention.
When I go to my therapist,
oh, you're so lucky.
Not to brag, you don't have a therapist?
No, I need one so bad.
Yeah, you gotta go, man. What's up?
Everyone tells me I gotta go.
Yeah, you must get told that all
it's
the
true
time.
Though, come on, you know it.
Yeah, exactly.
You've seen my standard.
I'm worried about you now that you don't have a therapist, buddy.
Really?
That's all bouncing around in there. No, nobody to tell you it's okay.
God,
you gotta get in there.
Yeah.
My therapist has she's like an amateur therapist, so it's cheaper. She has a fucking IMDb page.
No.
With a ton of credits, way more credits than me.
Is she pretty?
She's like beautiful.
Do you have a crush on her?
So no, no, but there was this one time in the summer where she was like wearing like a low cut top. And I would describe her bosom as heaving. She had a heaving bosom. And,
lucky her.
Is that okay to say? Can I say that on the podcast? Bosom?
Yes.
Yeah, that's okay.
You just said Kirk Douglas shit his pants.
Yeah, but bosom, that's a... anyways, that was a weird session.
I think my woman, femaleism. I think my woman
understands.
No, our female listeners understand the difference between... sizes of bosoms.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, okay.
And they understand how most men respond.
Yeah. So it was just that was an interesting session. That was a lot.
Yeah.
Got a little sexy. Got a little sexy.
Were you like, let's see, where should I start? Idly,
oh, ghouli. Yeah, I'm like rubbing my lips back and forth the whole session. An hour of sound effects, yeah. But yeah, one day we couldn't have a session because she was out of town filming for CBC's Heartland.
It was, oh, just, is she? Oh,
she's in it. She's in it.
I know a star of that show.
Oh, really? Well, they might.
But she's, is she a star?
No, she's got like a bit part. She's like a store owner. She's a therapist on Heartland. Horse therapist.
That's
horse
so therapist. Funny. Yeah.
Anywho, you should go. You should go to therapy.
Oh, thanks so much.
Yeah, no problem. I mean,
I would love my therapist to be a horse.
Buddy, that would be great. Just stroking the head, the long head.
And then the horse stars in a movie called Chris Whisperer. Hey-o.
We did it. We did it.
This is a good time to just say it's
it.
Jordan Foisey.
Oh, yeah. We've just been going for a while.
But it's okay. It takes a while.
I feel like it's loose, right? That's the whole thing.
You know what? This is good. We've got a good rapid fire back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
This is changing it up from the last couple podcast episodes where it's been a little bit more hang zone chill.
Okay.
I like that your brain works fast. You know that I'm a big fan of your stand up.
Thanks, buddy.
And writing. So I think that you're an intelligent, funny, great comedian. So I think that our chemistry will be good on this.
I mean, so far so good. Yeah, I like it. It's like, you know, like a butterfly banging against the wings of change.
Yeah. So let's find another metaphor for that. So therapy is like you open the window, let the butterfly out. But mine is just the butterfly banging against.
Yeah,
the
you got a butterfly. You got a butterfly just going crazy in there. Just like a moth banging up against the light bulb. Maybe that's what it is.
Well, sometimes, you know, like, I think my... Okay. Well, anyways, well, let's talk about you for again. Like, so, stand-up. You just recorded an album after doing a tour.
Yeah.
And, might I say, with a bit of pride, for the last few years, I've been organizing little mini tours for myself in independent venues.
Yeah.
And I noticed that you started doing that too. Not saying that I was an influence by any stretch.
No, but you were, for sure.
Really?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, thanks.
Dude,
I was going to say, the real compliment to me is that people that I like that are doing stand-up are feeling inspired either way to do that. I think that's what Canadians need to do more.
I agree 100%.
Because of the industry and because of how we're definitely like, you know, we're good comedians are outgrow the industry so fast here.
Yeah.
They can't keep up.
And it is, it was when I saw, dude, the first time I went out, I copied the venue you took in Ottawa. So I saw where you went to Press and I was like, oh, I'm going to message that place. They'll have comedy there.
So it wasn't through Greg. It was through Press.
Through Greg was the second one.
Oh.
Yeah, I went to a different place on the second one. But
yeah, that was really fun. Yeah, me, Tom, and Mark Little did that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was rammed and great people.
It's a great, cool place.
Yeah.
Great sandwiches. Listeners, if you want to check out a sandwich in Ottawa, Pressed.
And I think we promoted your show at our last, like, so I went back, did an art venue with Sarah Hennessy and Tom Henry, and I think, Kennedy promoted your show at the end of the show.
Oh, that's nice. Because
it was like a week,
It was like 2 days later. we kind of overran each other.
That was a conflict by accident.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. That's how inspiring you were. I was like, I want to just overlap.
Yeah, let me just drive behind them on the highway.
Right behind, waving at you guys. No, in front. Look in front of you. I guess no one can see my act out there.
He was waving his arms around. Yeah.
No, but I do agree where it's like, it. Whenever I do that thing, it is kind of like, if we all did that more, it'd be better for the comedy scene because it's like, you know, we could build up like kind of like circuits and things like that. And like,
you know what? And also people that can't do that won't last long.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of like a part of the entertainment industry that's missing in this country right now is everybody is being so kind and promoting to everybody. Promotive.
It's like promotional buddy motive at this
promoka motive. Yeah, promotional.
Yeah.
Like we're supporting people that, you know,
like you want more of like kind of like a death race comedy scene.
No,
like you want like shattered husks of careers.
Everybody is lovely.
Yeah,
and we all have good shows and bad shows. We all have good shows and bad shows.
You guys can't see Chris's eyes trembling right now.
They're actually glowing red.
Yeah,
they're about to shoot lasers.
Yeah,
but like the thing is a sink or swim aspect is missing right now. Yeah. It's sort of a coddled scene.
Yeah, for sure.
And I definitely think, like, you know, having a freaking college course for stand-up and this course, that course, and, you know, the comedy bar is such a lovely, incredible, massive home to comedy that it's beautiful. But in my own getting old now, bitter POV, I would say just because you drink beers at comedy bar every night.
Right. You know, doesn't mean... Like, you want to call. You want to go in there. You want to get, like, a Grim Reaper type to just come in here and be like, you, out, you.
Well, there's still times in my career where all of a sudden I'll have a fucking crazy bomb.
Yeah.
Or I will miss out on a bigger opportunity. And so I'm devastated for a sec. And then I have a moment of reflection where I'm like, should I still be doing this? Like, does everyone feel that way?
Oh, buddy, yeah.
I don't know.
I'm happy to hear that you feel like that, because it's like, it is true, where I'm like, after I recorded my album, you know, trying to write new stuff, and then especially trying to write new stuff at the same time where the world's so fucking crazy, so it's like anytime I come up with any stupid observation about, like, oh, shoes, my shoes don't fit, or I have, like... Or anything like that. I'm like, well, that's fucking pointless. But so then in all those times, I'm like, should I quit? But then I'm like, the thing that stops me from quitting now, and I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, but it's like, I'm in too deep.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. Like, I mean, yeah, you're sitting in my place right now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're...
This is not... Like, I don't work in finance.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you, I can't really turn this around anymore. It's like, I'm burrowing out of jail, and it's like, you know, I'm in this tunnel underground. I don't know what's happening, but it's like, there's more tunnel behind me. I gotta hope that.
Yeah, you should not quit. You're very funny, very smart, doing great, great reputation. And you know what? It sounded a bit negative earlier. Not everyone, like, there's not a lot of people that should quit. Maybe no one. Okay, fine. Why would I say that about anybody? But I'm just asking, is there a sort of quality control within this giant influx of a comedy scene?
It's, well,
like,
I think
in your own mind, are you just going out there and being like, I should be doing this, when you fucking maybe suck. Should be working in a fish factory?
The thing fish factory.
I worked at a fish factory once.
Actually?
For one day.
Oh, how long? Oh, you said one day. Why'd you quit?
Because I smelled like fish so bad, and I was working with a machine that could cut off my fingers. I feel like that's come up on this podcast before.
Your fish factory day. Oh, man.
But imagine everyone in the fish factory was like, I should be a comedian.
Yeah.
That's kind of like...
I would love that. That's what I want to hear about.
Oh, different POVs?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. I can relate to that. That's some truth right there. It's like, oh, little fish factory. Let me hear what it was like.
Yeah.
Fingerless men.
Yeah. Like, I have no fingers.
I can't open cupboards.
But fingerless men material gets pretty hacked pretty soon.
So bad. So bad.
One time I was doing a show in Seattle, and they told me jokes about suicide are hack out there because of how much it happens.
Jesus.
Isn't that fucked?
That's bleak.
That's dark.
I did there's a show in Sarnia. Same kind of thing, except before the show.
Same kind of thing in Sarnia.
Well, no, before the show, this woman was like, you can talk about whatever you want, just don't talk about suicide, because, like, a lot of people committed suicide recently.
A lot?
Yeah. Well, enough to warn us about it.
Jeez. Yeah, we're lucky. We live in the busy, cultured metropolitan of Toronto. It's very nice.
Do you like it here?
This is where I'm from. I'm one of the guys that's actually from here.
You grew it, like, downtown Toronto?
No, like okay, so beaches till I was about 7, and then Etobicoke.
Like,
till I was 19.
Nice part of Etobicoke?
Yeah, like Roy York and Bloor area.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Kind of interestingly enough, K-Trev and I grew up in the sort of same area, but went to different schools.
Really?
So we didn't know each other back then.
Did you go to an arts high school?
No, but he went to ESA, Etobicoke School of the Arts.
Yeah.
He's never done this podcast. But anyways, and my parents wanted me to because they could tell that I... See...
They knew you're creative. Yeah. They could feel it bubbling off you.
Yeah, I drew a picture of Garfield once.
They're like, our kid's going to be so funny. So they're like, we know he's creative, and we're going to send him to public school to fucking...
But all my friends were going to this other school called Richview, and so I was like, I got to go.
Right.
I got to be with my friends. Like, I didn't want to be different back then. I wanted to blend in, which is like the hardest thing I ever did in high school.
Did you blend it in successfully? Were you?
I don't think so. I think I still stuck out, but I was didn't want to in high school. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Were you cool?
I smoked weed, I skateboarded, and I was in a punk band. What do you think?
You're cool as fuck, this guy. Oh my god. You roll joints on your skateboard?
Okay, aren't you from Sault Ste. Marie?
Yeah, man.
Okay, so let's talk about you.
No!
I got super personal.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah. I'll do that. I'm a Wiley podcast
guest. Were you cool?
Well, it sounds like I was not cool, but I kind of got...
No, I'm being sarcastic. I got by. I was cool. I had a cool group of friends.
I was coolish, so I
was not a victim of wedgies or anything like that.
Yeah, I was like I think I felt more like a loser than I actually was for long. Like I was always walking the halls just like terrified that I was going to get like, you know, just like bullied or whatever, but it never really happened. But it sounds like you were a little cooler than me. Because all my friends are the skateboarders, but I didn't ever skateboard. I just kind of like hung out and watched them ollie over decks. And I'd be like, nice one. Good ollie. Good
you know
ollie,
what? I
Ben.
Skated for the earlier years of high school, but then like everyone united, like jocks, skaters, whatever. Mm-hmm. Everybody united with drugs.
Oh, that was what brought everyone
so,
together.
So like
yeah.
For the last few years of high school... Everyone just kind of like skipped class and went and smoked weed in the woods.
Do you guys have a rock? Do you got a spot that you would go to?
Yeah, a couple. But then as soon as we, yeah. And then there was like friends' houses where the parents were gone and like the garage and all that shit.
Right, right, right. We used to have...
I lived near the high school, you know?
We used to have this place...
I'm giving away too much.
Yeah, buddy. This is deep. this is an intimate podcast.
Deep cuts.
Yeah. Yeah, but I was also in a punk band. I was in at the end of it.
Oh,
yeah.
Let's talk about this before we talk about your utopian world. Where are we? Okay, yeah, we're good. So what guy? Yeah, I'm older than you.
Yeah.
By how much? How old are you?
I'm 30.
Okay, I'm 8 years older than you.
Oh, okay. All right.
So what kind of punk?
So it started off as like a joke, and I was a singer. We were just like jamming in my friend's basement, and then I just started like singing some dumb shit into a microphone, but I would sound like Lemmy. Like I'd be like, oh, my baby's mama. We had a song called My Baby's Mama.
But you were like a kid.
Yeah, I was like 17. Yeah, I was like 17 years old. And we used to cover, so we used to do punk shows because that's like the only shows in Sault Ste. Marie. It was like only punk shows that exist out there, and like grimy ass metal shows and stuff like that. But so we would do like punk songs, but they were just kind of like, yeah, we did like a song called Baby's Mama. And then we did one called Washed Up Celebrity, where I'd be like, I want to be a washed up celebrity.
Yeah.
And that was, and then we were huge, man.
Very sardonic.
Yeah. I think that's where my humor started from. I think that was my first.
Me too.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you the singer or were you the...
I played guitar, I was a bad guitar player, and then I'd give the guitar to the singer for a couple songs, and then I'd be the singer.
Yeah.
So I should have just said we traded back and forth.
Right.
But I definitely shone.
Yeah.
More.
Shone brighter.
Yeah. Yeah. Shone brighter. As the singer, because I was always being a goof. And there was this cassette tape that I had that I loved called Vandals, Sweatin' to the Oldies. And it was this punk band, the California punk band Vandals. Live. It was older, but I found it, and the guitarist is like cracking jokes the whole concert, and that was one of my favorite parts.
Really?
So then when we played a couple shows, I would just crack jokes the whole time.
And they were like, fuck off, Chris.
Yeah, they're like, you're not the guy from the Vandals.
Yeah, Chris, we're trying to be a serious punk band. We're trying to tear it down over here.
Yeah. No, it is true. I think one of the guys totally wanted to be like Propagandhi.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
And I was like, let's be the fart dick.
That's so Yeah, that's how we would start every jam where the other guys would play like Propagandhi songs. And then I'd be like, all right, guys, let me in on this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to be a washed up celebrity.
It's already in your head, right? Good melody. You can see why
we're
huge.
What were you guys called?
We were called Renderware.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's very nice.
Thank you.
We were called the Simpletons.
Of course.
I think we picked it last minute for like a gig.
Right,
we
didn't
know.
The Simpletons, like this, a bird shit on your head when that happened.
Yeah, and I'm like, my guitar's out of tune. One, two, three, four. twang.
Can I borrow someone's tuner pedal, please?
By the way, if anyone has listened this far and you didn't get mad at me saying that I was cool in high school, I do want to say this. From grade 9 to the beginning, okay, end of grade 9 to the beginning of OAC, because I still had OACs.
Nice.
I got braces and I had zits. To the max.
To the max.
So,
like zits on the braces.
Yeah. Zits upon zits.
Yeah, zits on zits.
Yeah. No, it was like, you know, it was zits. It wasn't like...
Like all over the face?
Yeah, no, it was like I had my spots. My nose got brutalized.
Really?
Some cheek action, some chin.
Cheek. That's the one that always makes me
feel bad. Forehead between the eyes. Fuck.
Holy fuck, dude. Any facial hair?
Yeah, and that's another thing. I used to have really thick hair.
Yeah.
And so I shaved it all the time, like, my hair is too thick. And then as soon as I wanted to grow it in university, I was going bald. And I'm like, are you fucking serious?
Oh, man. So thick hair, but you're shaving all the time. Pimples everywhere.
So maybe not as cool as I... And yeah. I went through 2 years of high school with no girlfriend.
Buddy, I didn't have a girlfriend all high school. It was awful.
Yeah, I was cooler than you.
Yeah. Well, you could skateboard.
I had a skateboard.
You got a skateboard. Because my didn't have a girlfriend because my home life was all kind of fucked up, right? So I didn't want to... It was hard for me to... The idea of bringing somebody home was like kind of like scary and
Well,
shitty.
You should... we should use this opportunity then to tell everyone to read that freaking article you wrote for Vice about your dad.
Yeah, please read it. It's called...
It's amazing.
Gifts My Father Gave Me, I think it's called, or something.
It's
like
really...
That.
GD amazing.
Thanks, man. It's pretty good. I just did another one. I do. It's weird because I write stuff for Vice, and then it's like I'll try to write things about like pop culture and stuff like that, and then they're not very successful. And then I'll do one where I talk about like my personal emotional shit, and then those always do well. But I always feel bad doing those because it's like
no, your pop culture one, the Harper's favorite show one was.
Murdoch Mysteries.
Murdoch Mysteries was really great.
Yeah, thanks, man. But I just
think
did
about
one,
that all the time now.
I just did one about my brothers.
Yeah.
About like how hard it is to say that I love my brothers. But then I didn't fucking put it. I didn't share it because I didn't want them to see it. I felt so bad about doing it. You know, like it felt.
But you do love them.
I do love them. Yeah.
But
yeah.
You didn't know how to say it.
I didn't know how to say it, and then I said it in the article. But then I didn't even share it because I was like, I don't really want them to see this right now. I feel like it's too emotionally raw. I felt bad.
I think it's really good to be. I think that's where we need to go now. The brutal honesty.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like. These CBC life things that they asked me to write as a new dad, I think they wanted them to be kind of light, to a degree. Like, here, look, I'm a ding dong, and I slipped and
There's caca everywhere.
But
there's so much caca.
But I'm using it to like really practice writing.
Right.
Like, there's like I try to make like because I'm a comedian. I try to keep it like I don't know if you. Yeah, your writing's naturally this way too, but you try to keep it funny and punchy. But then, like the last article was about how Amy, when she was like 2 months or so, wouldn't take the bottle from me when Kathleen was not around yet because she's still mostly breastfeeding. And in the article, I also weirdly talk about how my dad just died.
Oh, man. When did that happen?
Well, it was June, just after June.
Yeah.
So like very early July, but it was also not the dad I grew up with. It was my biological dad that is estranged. This is like in the beginning of this episode, you're like, you don't go to therapy. We're going to turn this podcast. He told me to be into therapy.
I'm a good listener, right? I trick people into it. I know. Look, they're non-judgmental.
You're like, oh really? Tell me more.
Yeah, unravel, Chris, please. And please.
So how are you with your therapist? Do you know everything about her?
No, my therapist is so good. She fucking, she calls me on my bullshit all the time. It's really good. She calls me when I'm like kind of lying to myself, you know?
That's nice.
Yeah, she's good. I like
But before
it.
We move on, let's just summarize.
Your dad is dead. My dad is shit. Let's wrap it.
That's kind of exactly a better way of saying what I was going to say. Raw honesty plus humor is the best.
It's great, yeah.
And I think our stand-up is like that.
Mm-hmm.
We're so similar.
Buddy, we're both not cool in high school. You're like, I'm a little cooler.
Yeah.
No girlfriend. That was the fucking worst.
But there weren't a lot of skaters in my high school. So
really?
It was like a little group. But yeah, it wasn't like I was a part of a giant pack. Anyways, now the more I think about it, but even though I didn't get... okay, like, I'm going to leave the high school stuff.
Let's leave it in the past, man. But, we're beyond that.
But something you said earlier I related to, I definitely lived in terror in my mind.
Yeah.
But every teen does,
I think.
So I definitely had that going on. I did not strut through the halls with confidence.
I was just popping zits.
I'm in hell.
Yeah, I'm in hell.
Yeah.
Does somebody want to join me in this hell, or is this my own personal hell?
I can relate to graphic novels.
Oh, man. I had, like, in high school, too, or should we change the subject? Because I'll do it real quick.
One more, yeah.
One more thing. The other thing about in high school, too, I had this fucking secret double life going on because I did theater and I read comic books, but I didn't tell anybody about that shit.
Yeah.
And so because I didn't want to basically be called gay because that was like my, you know, the ultra fear in high school at the time.
Well, I didn't want to say this earlier because I feel ashamed about it, to be honest. But the Etobicoke School of the Arts, where my parents wanted me to go, some like more macho dude friends of mine before, they were like, All the guys that go there are gay.
Yeah.
And so as a stupid, insecure, not like confident young teen, 13-year-old, I was like, I don't want to be,
I don't want to be gay. I don't want to be in the gay school.
Or even like if I was gay, it's like, I don't want these guys to think I'm gay.
Yeah,
like, which is even worse.
Yeah, it's true.
It's so stupid.
It drives me crazy how in high school, how much like that mentality, how powerful it was. Like just like the just awful, that awful mentality of like, don't be weak. You know, and then and then how we all went along with it too, like
yeah, and now we're like kind of like interesting, creative type guys, and those guys that were like threatening us to not be weak are like cops or something.
Yeah, they're killing it right now. They're doing so good. They're doing so good. They got a job at the bank. That's like also one of the biggest bullshit lies. Like, oh yeah, those guys, those rich mean guys in high school. Oh man, that's the peak of their life. It's like, no, their life's pretty good the whole damn way through.
But it's like this kind of medium good.
Yeah, it's like
no, some of them are great.
They're having a grand old time.
We're really painting with a wide brush. Yeah. This has been a high school
thing.
Party.
That's my utopia, actually. My utopia is
good. Thanks.
No, no problem. I'm
Have you thought about it?
My utopia.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of my utopia now is like I guess like 10 months ago. If we could just rewind the clock a little bit and go back to...
we went past your utopia already?
Yeah, I think that's the thing. I'm like, were we living in utopia a little while ago? Because it is like...
Yeah. No, a bubble has mega burst.
Bubble has mega burst, and my utopia is... you know which one I kind of like? This is my actual utopia.
Yeah.
I like the idea. My hope now is that the robots come... The robots come and take over everything. Singularity happens.
Yeah.
But the robots are just like super fucking cool. And they don't... Because I always think it's weird that we're like, oh man, the robots are going to come and they're going to kill all of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they're so much smarter than us. They're going to kill all of us. But it's like, that's what we would do. Because we're fucking dumb.
Yeah.
Like, why would robots do that if they're so smart? Like, they would, like, we'd be like, robots, please don't kill all of us. And they're like, no, we're not going to do that. We don't want to waste our time.
We just want to pet you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm hoping that they like jazz a lot. The robots like jazz. And they're just like, hey, guys, you do whatever we want. We'll make food. We'll do all this stuff. And you guys just play some jazz. Have a nice time. Be creative.
Wait, we play jazz or the robots play jazz?
We play jazz for the robots. Like
I could do that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like that's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping that the robots come along and they're just like, hey, you guys just be creative. Because we're not good at being creative, but we are good at running society well. And we won't kill all of you.
Yeah.
Do you think that's possible? Or do you think the robots are going to come and just take our skins?
I'm cynical to the max, but I like...
Cynical to the max.
Yeah.
Cynicism!
You know what? My last episode with Don, I kept saying to the max, too, and I started making... I don't know what it is. It's my hot expression.
Buddy, that's what the world is to the max right now.
You're right.
You got to do it to keep up with
that's
it.
That's totally what it is. Oh, I think... my wife and child are trying to get in the house.
Should we let them in?
No!
We're podcasting!
No, I'm just joking. Come in if you want to. We paused it because my wife and daughter came home.
Yeah.
But then we also were talking about robots.
Yeah.
But then we got distracted when we were paused by looking at the bookshelf.
Chris has got a great bookshelf. Very intellectually stimulating.
Sometimes,
yeah. That's what I like about a bookshelf.
There's also a stack of Roger Moore James Bond movies on the same bookshelf. So
you got to balance it out, man.
Yeah, the fun with the dumb.
Something for the 1%, something for the rest of us.
Yeah. Yeah, the 1% should be representative of intellectuals. Unfortunately, it's not.
I suppose that's true. Eh? They're like crass assholes.
Yeah.
They're just disgusting.
It would be interesting if if you kind of shook up the world and the hierarchy reformulated itself from intellectuals down.
Oh, man. That would be great. We'd be king of the heaps.
Yeah.
And that's what we'd call everyone
else.
No.
No, I would be not king, that's for sure.
But we'd be the jesters. Probably.
You ever talk to a real smart person and get your brain blown away?
Yeah, it's like, it's horrifying.
It's
horrifying.
Yeah, it's like, what do you have, filing cabinets in that noggin of yours?
I feel like a snail when I'm talking to them, like just like a disgusting little like, oh, I can't even cling on to this intellect.
I know.
This gleaming intellect.
I feel like a monkey that drinks its own piss. One time I bumped into
That's a smart monkey.
Yeah.
You know, that's a smart monkey. So you bumped into Sook Yin
Lee.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, I know where to get the liquid. I'm smart.
Exactly. This is my body.
Yeah, Sook Yin Lee, who I've known throughout the scene, you know, over the years, she's very lovely. I want her to do this podcast.
That'd be sick. You guys should have a crossover.
She's so smart, though.
Is
like,
she?
So I bumped into her out by the CBC building, I guess I said, gee, can you believe such and such? Like, whatever the hot news item was.
Oh, right.
You know, and I was basically reiterating what everybody was saying.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, actually, and said all this incredible information, and I almost got dizzy and fell down a flight of stairs. I was like, oh, my God.
So, if you meet Sook Yin Lee, make sure there's no stairs around.
Yeah.
You know, because it's going to come at you. It's going to come at you fast and furious.
Yeah, intelligently mash your mind.
She's that awesome?
Yeah, she's a lovely, awesome person.
Oh, man, I hope I run into her.
Sorry, I didn't want to make this about her.
No, we
were just talking about intellectuals. In fact, you know what? We could make this episode about whatever we want. And since we started talking about who's cool, who's not in high school, who's hot and not, here's another thought I've been having recently.
Okay.
Because I did skip high school a lot. I don't know if you did this.
But you skipped a grade?
No, I skipped classes.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, I did skip a grade every single class.
I skipped every grade, to be honest.
I did it slowly.
Yeah. I skipped school like how troglodytes skipped evolution.
I'm an invertebrate. Doesn't sound like you skipped shit, man.
Yeah. I skipped right off the cliff.
Merrily? Merrily?
Yeah. I'm high, dude.
You skipped class a lot, though?
Yeah. So I really regret not... interestingly enough, you point at the bookshelf.
Yeah.
So
again,
maybe the pseudo-intellectual bookshelf is... you know, a manifestation of like
a deep insecurity,
big time. Oh yeah, that's my dick over there on that wall.
You did scrawl a giant picture of
my huge dong. Yeah. Well, you guys can't see my bookshelf right now, but each book is 5 feet tall.
And it's just called Chris's dick. And I'm like, ooh, intellectual.
Yeah.
My brain's on fire. The neurons. I never skipped. I was a goody two-shoes.
You're a good student?
I think that might be the difference between us.
So, the difference is you're smart for real, and I'm like this ragtag
hunk
of junk.
I think you're a little more of a rule breaker, and I'm a little more of like, I want to please, like, when the Nazis come, I hope I'm not like, what do you need, sir?
Yeah.
Yeah, like,
I love that Simpsons joke when Kent Brockman is like, mm-hmm. Might I be the first one to welcome our ant overlords?
Yeah. Oh, terrifying how accurate.
But just in regards to high school and then university, I was talking to my friend reminiscing about this today, actually, at lunch.
You had a massive lunch with this guy. Sounded like a good time.
We talked a lot.
Yeah.
We needed to. It seems like. Yeah, no. But it was like... it's like when I think about like being a goof off kid, so maybe I wasn't that cool. So here's the actual wrap up of that.
Okay, perfect.
I didn't I didn't, like, you know, I was reading books all the time in high school, but the books I chose, not the curriculum.
Fucking rock and roll.
Yeah.
Punk rock.
All these kind of cool books, like Stink It Up Down the Creek, Jazz.
Yeah.
Jazz Dog.
Hook Attack.
Jack Kerouac's Jazz Doctor.
Jack Kerouac's Jazz Doctor. Starring David Hassel. No, nah, that was bad. That was bad. I'll back off.
All I'm saying is, all I'm saying is, my biggest worry is I don't want to regret anything in my life, and yet every day I regret almost everything. That's the last I will talk about me. That's, we'll go so back funny. To you. But that's the thought I wanted to get out there.
Anyways, one last thing. My whole life is based upon regret. I am the biggest regret is...
It's just the way I am. I'm a worrywart 3000.
Oh, me too, man. Oh, yeah. My God. Oh, dude. Just guilt and regret the whole time. The whole time. Just like powering me through the day.
So you will be relaxed in a world where you can... The only pressure you feel is to make sure the jazz is... good enough for these robots.
Yeah, exactly. I don't even want to play.
Your utopia is playing jazz for robots. Yeah, the robots do everything on the planet.
Isn't that fucking awesome? Wouldn't that be sweet?
I've never heard anything like it, and I think...
Because I think the robots might like it. You know, it's up to them. Yeah. I just want... It's that... Take away that freedom of choice, you know?
You know
that horrible freedom.
Oh, yeah,
like,
amazing.
Are you doing the right thing? Are you... Instead of just like... Because it's like... Humans, we think we're these rational creatures that are good at being smart and things like that, but we're not. What we are good at is like being creative and being sensitive, and so I hope the robots kind of come in and let us just do those things.
To me,
put on plays for the robots.
Yeah. Well, you know Dixieland jazz. I would love to hear that emanating throughout the whole sky, like reverberating throughout the sky while they killed all of us. Just beautiful old Dixieland jazz,
so
and us being like ripped to shreds. That's one of the bubbles that burst for me in the last few years with the political climate of the world, mm-hmm. and the actual like realization of what globalization has become.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is this fucking neoliberal narrative that we've been living under. We were talking about this at a party recently too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that bubble burst for me mega.
I know.
The whole like, we thought we were good and we thought there was evil. It's so funny.
Yeah.
It's so embarrassing.
And I feel so, I don't know if you, I don't know if this happened to you, but when it all went down and like, you know, and Hillary lost and all this stuff, where it was like, yeah, it was this feeling of like, oh, I was definitely part of the problem. Like
embarrassed.
Yeah, like in the way of like I got so and still even now, like I'm so wrapped up in my dreams. Like making sure my career is good and making sure I'm like this creative person, which
polishing your trumpet.
Yeah.
As Rome burned.
Yeah.
Nero polished his trumpet.
Yeah, exactly. Is that
And we're Canadian too, ladies and gentlemen, by the way. But still, as Canadians, we're mostly like lapdogs for the states.
Oh, yeah. This whole thing of
we
like,
have to pay attention.
This idea of like, oh, like I did a joke about it on Twitter and this guy like responded. It's like, oh, classic Canadian making fun of it. And it's like, fuck you, man. We're just as terrified up here.
Yeah.
Like,
our prime minister is terrified right now to talk to your president. Like it's news. It's national news that he's like, idly eye.
Did you see the handshake?
No.
So they had like, they met and they had
handshake.
Oh, wait,
did they meet today? Is it today?
It happened today.
Oh my God,
and
I missed it.
Their first meeting, it's all over the news. Of course it is, because we're going to highlight the most like shallow thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, so they went to shake hands and Trump tried to pull his hand and do that thing. And then Trudeau, like, he like stood fast.
Yes.
And kept his handshake right there.
Trudeau is for sure way physically stronger.
Oh, yeah. And he probably did chin-ups like all day to prepare for like all night on the plane. Just like, he's not going to pull me in. So that was the war. Maybe that's the war against fascists.
Here, ladies and gentlemen, picture two hands shaking. It sounded like this.
The handshake heard around the world.
Yeah, that thing, the Japanese?
Oh, it's crazy. And he's like patting his hand.
What is that?
I don't know, man. It's.
But did you see him holding Theresa May's hand as he walked down the steps?
Yeah, because apparently he's afraid of steps. He is 70, man. 70-year-olds are afraid of steps.
Help me.
Yeah, I'm so old.
Kill them.
Please, I'm just a bag of shit. I'm literally his fucking... This thing, yeah. The jowls,
yeah,
that's what I can't get enough of. Yeah. I look at every picture and I'm
it's
just
like a sack of marbles.
Yeah, it's
I am not going to be allowed into this country.
Oh, yeah, you're going, right?
Yeah,
you're going to visit. Where are you going? Orlando?
No, Naples,
Naples, Florida.
Yeah, it's a very like lie on the beach, read books vacation.
You're kind of the canary for me right now,
Jesus.
I'm wondering, like. Because they're talking about, oh my God, man. Like,
asking for our social media passwords?
Yeah, and just like, it's.
That's extreme vetting, though, for like people that they. Here's the thing. That's the problem.
That's the guilt right there. That's like the. That's like, they're not actually going to do it to us, right? Like, that's the thing.
Yeah. Yeah, we live in this world now where we're like, that can't really happen. And it just keeps happening.
Yeah, exactly. It just keeps getting. And it's also like this thing of like I've heard like a couple of people have been like, you know, when they talk about the vetting at the border and how extreme it's going to get. And then they're like, oh, well, it's not going to happen to me basically because I'm white.
Yeah.
And then it's like, but that's how fucked up it is. That's how it starts right there. You know, like this idea of like, okay, well, it's going to be okay for me. And
yeah,
it's
like, I know.
But if we have to think like that, it's not okay for anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's.
Do you find yourself centering yourself on Facebook or Twitter?
no, not yet. I don't think I will.
Are you political on that stuff at all, though?
I'm pretty. I mean, I'm not like political.
Like in a jokey way, a comedian's
jokey way.
Way.
Yeah. Yeah, like most of my jokes are about, you know, like Steve Bannon looks like a fucking cum rag or something.
Did you have
like
a good Steve Bannon one? There's some good ones the other
I had. Steve Bannon looks like he got kicked out of the library for looking at porno on the computer.
Yeah, I read that one.
That one, I was that one. That would, if that keeps me out of America, I'd actually be pretty proud.
Yeah, that's the
I'd
thing.
I'd come back. I'd be like, I wasn't led in America because of my Steve Bannon Facebook status.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I don't know how to. But your baby,
you might be able to hear my baby screaming right now.
But that's the most accurate way to interpret what's happening.
It's just scream like
it's
a baby.
Just a baby screaming.
Yeah, I know.
Because that's what it feels like right now, man. It's
the weird thing to me, though, is like, so how we feel like we're burning in hell and suffering.
Yeah. I'm familiar.
Like, that's how the Tea Party and the Truther movement and all those people felt for 8 years.
Yeah.
With Obama, like, so it's like so weird for us to be like, help us, and right. Then almost same size population of people felt that way during Obama. That's like blows my mind.
The difference is that Trump is doing all the horrible things that we're afraid of and that make us feel horrible. Where they were so afraid of all this shit.
That was, they made up themselves.
That they made up. And
I know. Good point.
You know, like, it's like, and even.
But but in a way, though, Trump is doing this quote unquote horrible shit, but it's just as justified to them as it is to us because.
It's true.
They don't think his Muslim ban is horrible shit like we do.
They
think he's genuinely protecting their country.
Yeah, and he's making them feel safe. I suppose.
Yeah.
How you popped your bubble? Do you pop your bubble? Do you try to get outside your bubble? You try to talk to. Like,
I've been doing it a lot.
Yeah,
but I don't want to. I always try to be an objective person.
Yeah,
but I also will never be racist. I mean, to the consciously, I try not to be. I want to love everybody. I want the world. I want to live in a peaceful place where the world is understanding and comes together. And I also get that ISIS is real.
Yeah, exactly.
I get that the conflict in the Middle East is like real, and terrorism is spilling over into European
chaos.
Countries and the shit with the trucks running over people.
Yeah. Like, that shit's crazy.
I mean, I could see in a more rational way, the U.S. would be like, okay, let's kind of knuckle down a little bit on some of the vetting of new immigrants. If like before the trucks start running over Christmas before, shoppers.
Before we can't trust trucks anymore.
Yeah, I know. I mean, planes are already scary because of that.
So I think we just get rid of all transportation.
But what they did was fucking bonkers.
Right.
Like, first of
What American.
Yeah. First of all, like, I don't even have to explain it. Yeah, everybody knows.
Yeah, we know.
The countries that aren't on the ban, like, why not?
Yeah.
Like, we know. It's like, it was a little extreme. But I guess that's, like, Trump proving to his constituents, like, I said it, I did it.
I'm going
to
do it. Yeah. But it's what's terrifying to me is that the only way to kind of, like, interpret it historically, because my degree was in history, as it were. In,
from where?
Trent University.
Nice.
Renowned Drum Circle Central, Trent University. But, like, looking at it historically, it's like, this is what fascism looks like. Like, this is how it happens. It starts off with with an aggrieved base of people that felt like they were in power. Now they don't have it anymore and they want it back. And then you create a world for them that only you have the answers to. And then it's like,
and you discredit the
anything that media. Disagrees with it. Yeah. And then you start doing stuff for them. You know, and you start giving them, and it's only for them, and you scapegoat everyone else. And I don't know if it's comforting to think about it that way, but for me, that's how I keep a bead on it, and I can keep myself kind of sane, because it does seem so crazy. Then it's like, oh no, we have seen this before. It's the scariest thing ever, but it is following patterns that hopefully
setting off alarms all around the world.
Yeah. Well, and now, because it's like, America's a rogue state. Like, they're crazy.
Yeah.
Like, we grew up in a world where America was like the bastion of order, and even they lied and they're full of shit and, you know, hypocritical, and they also destroyed Iraq and, like, all this stuff that we're just kind of like, like, that's the other, can you believe America had Trump? It's like, well, they also destroyed Iraq.
But, which a lot of those Iraqis became ISIS.
Yeah. So it is this horrible, but now they're just straight up, like, the president's just evil. He's just like, says it. He's just like, he's like, yeah, I'm evil. Let's be evil.
Yeah.
Like, being evil is sweet. And everyone's like, oh, yikes.
Yeah. <It's good. laughs> It reminds me of in a Western film, when, like, the ranch boards up its windows and everyone gets inside and sticks the shotguns out the hole of the windows waiting for, like, the Indians or something.
Yeah, except for us, the shotguns will be podcasts. And
we're not the ones holed up. It's America's doing that to
America's
themselves.
America's holding up,
threatening to pull out of every single thing that's held world peace, or a more peaceful world together in the last 50 years or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Like NATO, and they're mad at everything. The UN.
Yeah. It's just a chaotic, like, death wish. It's so like the people that are with Trump, and his philosophy is so like, the world's awful. You know, it's awful. I just want to smash it. You know, it's so irrational. It's so vengeful. It's so like,
it's totally like, I'm older than you, so I don't think you remember, but did you ever watch, like, were you ever sort of into 80s, like, cartoons and movies? Like, at the time, the most popular cartoons were, like, because, so I was a kid, like, small child during, like, the Reagan era.
Okay.
It is a lot like that, to be honest. Like, it's really, like, we were raised, because we were on American culture here, obviously, still back then, big time. So everything was, like, G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
And then the hot movies were Commando, Rambo, Chuck Norris. Is that time again. Like, you need to be white, first of all. Yeah. You need to have giant muscles. You need to have machine guns draped over your arms and grenades. And all the bad guys are literally indiscernible from each other.
Yeah, it's true.
And watching them get mowed down is nothing. That's the culture that the 80s pop culture was like. And now it seems like that's the people that's the mind frame of this type of America now.
Yeah, Well, that's what scares me, where it's like,
they're like, give us Rambo again.
Might makes right. Like, that's what's scary right now. It's like, it's just like, you can't do that. It's like, well, who's going to stop me? And then everyone's like, no one can stop you. Please, please be nice.
Please, Mr. Rambo. Please, Mr. Rambo. I'm just a trumpet.
Can we talk about this? I like your ammo belt. It looks good on you.
Yeah.
I'm only going to wear ammo belts from now on. All my shirts are ammo belts.
Picture little guys holding trumpets.
Like, just little men?
Little men holding trumpets, like, and Rambo just mowing them down.
Ruining my utopia. I'm like, guys, we're just trying to play jazz over
here. Picture you trying to play jazz for these robots, and then a sweaty, wet Rambo comes in.
Emptying the spit valve. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do want to say, I've been meaning to say this for a while to you. You have the best gun noises, dude.
Huh? What? I've known that for a while?
No. Your gun noises are the best. This is off topic, but... and your silencer? Give him a taste of the silencer.
Did I do that for you one night?
You did on stage. Like it's hilarious. Yeah. Best in the game, buddy. Best gun noises in the game.
Yeah, I think, do I have a joke? Oh, yeah. I had the joke about not being killed by snipers because I'm hot. Like, I get hot in the joke. I'm not hot.
Yeah.
But they're like, psh,
psh. Yeah.
And listen, I'm like, nice.
Great gun noises.
Two
man.
Couch potatoes.
Yeah.
Get killed.
Yeah.
Thanks. Well, yeah, when I was a kid, little kid, mm-hmm. Why don't we just go down all my memory lanes?
Yeah, please. It's a maze in here.
But some of my friends, when I used to live in the beaches, loved playing like cops and robbers with me and stuff. Because I would do the great gun noises and fall off my bike and die for real and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I actually, like, that's one of the first things in my whole life where people were like, that's good.
Yo, this kid's hilarious.
Yo, this kid makes good gun noises. And then they kidnapped me.
And then they just made you do gun noises in a cage. Yeah. They're like running a stick along the bars.
And they send letters to my parents, $10,000.
Or you can't have this gun noise kid back.
This amazing gun noise kid.
Listen to that. So good, buddy. Bad.
Listen to this one.
Is that a fart?
Yeah.
That's a fart gun?
I can also do good farts.
And guns?
I think it's obvious we got too heavy with the politics.
Yeah, we had to.
So now we're going.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what we think about it.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know you had a degree in history. That's very fun.
It's good.
What was it? What was your main?
Like 20th century history. I took one called History of Fascism. So it's like, that was like my last
Stalin and
technically he's not a fascist, he's a communist. They're both totalitarian if we want to get into it that way.
Like, did you see the latest Bill Burr?
I did.
Oh, do you have a critical opinion of it?
That's
fine. That's good.
It's like,
because everybody just walks around saying he's the king right now.
Well, the thing about Burr is he's so talented, but it's also like he expresses the American id that made Trump get elected. You know what I mean? Like his whole thing of like how fat people need to not be fat and stuff like that. Like it's jokes, but it's also like he's talking about killing everyone. And then he's also talking about how like fat people are worthless. And it's like, I know, and it's all jokes, and it's like, but it is also like that idea of like how some people need to get with it and need to live better lives. And then,
but the far left thinks those things too, but I just think they super repress themselves.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think like he's a good, like, valve for that bullshit too, where everybody's like, no, like,
yeah,
grit teeth smile, like,
yeah,
nothing bad exists.
Like, oh yeah, we're all happy and we all love each other. And I got the
fatty shaming bit that he did off the top was like, not about being fat. It was about like this sort of like, self-indulgent makeup excuses for everything culture that we've become, like, of just like basically like, you know, not taking responsibility for our own behavior and everybody owes us everything.
I
do think that's kind of a problem.
I don't think it's a problem as much as, 'cause it's like, I think it's also like there's it's like what makes also people fat, where it's like, because he had that whole thing of like,
oh yeah, you know, there's the whole medical thing that he didn't address,
and there's medical, and but then there's also like, well, McDonald's is cheapest, because he talks about McDonald's and how people shouldn't eat McDonald's. Yeah, cheapest, right. Fuck, chemically engineered to be addictive as cigarettes.
Really?
Like, oh yeah, McDonald's is like, they like have the salt, sugar, fat, they have it all perfectly
it is true, like
leveled
he,
out.
But he doesn't mention that, like you have McDonald's one night and then the next day you're like, I want it again.
Yeah, yeah. But I think he's hilarious. But
so you think he's socially irresponsible?
No, I don't.
Who's more socially irresponsible right now, him or Jim Jeffries, the two hottest comedians on Netflix?
Well, Jeffries gets me mad too, because he does that thing of like he wants to be taken so seriously, right? Like as a social critic.
Yeah.
But then when he does his like his misogynistic jokes, he's like, it's just a joke. But it's like, you can't have it both ways, man. Like,
good point.
Yeah. On the other hand, when he told Piers Morgan to fuck off,
that was enjoyable.
That was the best. So.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. It's like,
I guess
it's like that thing Norm Macdonald said that was good. He's like, all these comedians now, everyone walking around being like, they're the philosophers of the day. And he's like, there are real philosophers walking around being like, okay.
Yeah. I'm philosophizing like crazy over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, if people are going to, with Bill Burr, where it's like, I guess what scares me about him, because it's like, or not even scares, but the thing is like, where it's like, if you're going to, you know, these are pretty powerful ideas, and there's some people that just take them on the face of it, where they're like, yeah, tell it like it is, Bill. Like, and
yeah, so you're right.
It's a bit scary, but
I get that aspect for sure.
You know, because his way of thinking is a conservative kind of philosophy, and yeah.
Yeah.
It's just scratching something off your pants.
It's like, yeah. And he does have that cartoon where it's like weirdly like satirizing his dad, or like parodying his dad. His dad's like 70s mentality.
Yeah.
But it's also like, those are the good old days in a weird
way. Like, I think he loves that kind of like
a man being a man shit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which is like, you know, it's all good. It's just now, well, no, it's not all good, because now that's the shit that's running the world right now, and that's the shit that's so scary, you know, like, I think there's a through line from that thought to
Trump's whole cabinet is old white men
who are all like, if you're not a winner, you're fucking worthless, you're useless. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, if you're not hot, get the fuck out of here.
Do you find with your stand-up, when you get rolling and you get a lot of people giving you compliments and stuff, and they're complimenting you on like real articulate personal material that resonates with them, that's one of your biggest hits for sure. Do you find that like you're like starting to feel socially responsible too, like you should have more of a message? And then I get there sometimes and I don't want to go there because I feel like the comedy always gets compromised.
I try to, that's why I always try to ground it in emotional rawness.
Me too. Like, it's got to be about me first.
Yeah, and not in the way of like because of narcissistic, but because I'm uncomfortable saying like, this is the truth. Listen to me. I'm the voice of truth and reason.
Yeah,
like,
even just claiming anything about anybody else.
Exactly. Like,
yeah, you're the only thing you truly know.
Yeah, like I don't like making like strong points, because I feel like if there's, I mean, it's that cliched thing, but if there's, the more you know, the more you realize I don't know fucking anything.
But sometimes it's like weird as a stand-up when you get to be a really raw point and it's destroying the place.
Yeah.
Like, you know, over and over, and you're really feeling free that way. It is this weird, you can feel the complex coming around the corner. It's like, you're smart. Yeah. You have things to say to the people.
Show them.
And that's when these fucking bigger than their britches comedians start showing their cracks, is when I think they start believing that they are the new philosophers.
Yeah, no,
and
I agree.
That they are changing the world. I mean, you know,
like thinking that we're leaders, you know, that we're we're, instead of just,
and I'm talking on a mega teeny scale for us, like Canadian entertainment business, but we obviously look at these big guys, these popular people's specials.
Yeah, like when Louis feels like now, like, I have to make a point, you know?
Yeah, like I'm going to end with a point about fucking blood diamonds in the Congo and then drop the mic and walk away. Yeah, it's yeah, like, yeah. What was that?
Yeah.
You also talked about boobies bouncing up and down.
Like, and it is like a balancing act. Like, I want to talk about real shit. Like
yeah.
But I want to talk about it. I don't want to beat anybody over the head with it, you know?
It's like when you watch, like, Charlie Chaplin. He's probably the first mega one to do it on a grand scale. You watch The Great Dictator, and you're like, ha, 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 how relevant. And then at the end of the movie, he just starts giving a straight-up speech, and you're like, okay.
Yeah, yeah, all right, I get it. I was way ahead of here. It is called The Great Dictator, Charlie. Like, yeah. I got it.
Who was The Great Dictator? Yeah.
Yeah, that was very clear.
Weird.
Yeah.
I'm glad I got to talk about that stuff, though, because I think about that sometimes, because, and especially if you're a comedian or you're a fan of comedy, you notice that, I'm sure. But also as a comedian writer, you do find sometimes you're like, well, shouldn't I be saying something bigger?
Mm-hmm.
You know, shouldn't I be? And it is like.
Do you feel responsibility now to also say, like, because right now I find it weird when comedians don't. At least acknowledge that things are fucked up. Like, I don't want everyone to be political, certainly not. But
yeah.
I think everyone should at least be like, hey, everyone, things are kind of fucked up, right? And then,
yeah,
you know, like, because you can feel it. Like, I just did a show on, in like Guelph, and after, and then I didn't, and I was like the last comic, and then I was the first one who said anything about Trump. And this person came up afterwards, and she was like, thanks for saying something about it, because it was like seven comics. And nobody brought it up once.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I know, I was glad that they didn't. It looked better for me. But,
yeah.
But I think people want to hear it right now, too. They want it to be burst open a little
bit.
Well,
one thing that will not fly, especially with me, I don't know about other, like the audiences, but, you know, and I used to write material about this all the time, like a few years ago.
Yeah.
But, like, a fucking straight, like, white guy going up there and talk, whining about being a man-child.
Oh, yeah.
With no relevance to where the world is at right now,
yeah.
Or anything else that the audience would want to know, like.
Yeah, I
I played video games all day. I yeah. should be.
I'm addicted to masturbating.
Just straight up. I have jizz all over my everything.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to weed those jokes out of my act as well, because it is a bit like it is a bit of like, oh yeah, like Muslim people are fucking trapped in America right now, and we're gonna be like, oh, I just wish I could grow up, you know, I just
yeah.
wish I could get my shit together. It's like,
yeah,
get your fucking shit together, man. And this is to me, like, me saying it to myself, like get your shit together, Jordan.
Yeah.
You don't need to.
Yeah, it's like I went through these, like, this decade of, you know, trying to be this Zen guy, like, float through it, you know.
But meanwhile, you're also the guy that said, I regret everything.
Yeah. Well, now I completely shifted. And,
yeah.
like, you know, I still really like reading that stuff and thinking about it. And I understand the value of meditation and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I definitely think. Maybe I think we're not in this maybe same generation, but we're the same, just part of the same culture.
Yeah.
That, like, we've definitely been in this super pacified, floating, self-indulgent
yeah.
cloud. And I definitely think one thing that was not instilled in our culture for the past couple decades, they say it on TV, and they say it in the hero says it in the movies. But it's not really instilled in our culture to actually be the best that person that you can be.
Yeah.
And push yourself to the limit and push your try and maximize your intelligence.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, they're saying the best you can be, but they're saying, like, be the best you can be, like, punch the bully and kiss the girl.
Yeah.
No, they're not saying, like, no, seriously, read all the literature from the past.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, talk to different cultures.
Exactly.
Explore the real world. No one ever really fucking promotes that.
No, and instead we especially all the 2000s, man, it was all about for all of us indulging yourself in the sense of, like, find what makes you happy, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, what, okay, you have your job, okay, well, what about a hobby? Like, what's going to make you, like, happy? Like, what do you like? And it all became about, like, which is really like just a way for us to become like mindless consumers of shit that would make us happy, and just like buy shit.
Most human beings these days, I don't think. Yeah, oh, totally. It's always it's always marketing at the end of the day.
Yeah,
marketing and making sure that we're complacent with the laws.
Yeah,
like that's all it really is ultimately. Yeah. But also, like, yeah. So we've got this little breadth of freedom that we get to run around in. Even within that, I forgot what I was gonna say.
Have you done any? Oh, no. Do you remember?
Oh, no. Go say it right now.
Have you done any, actual political shit since it went down? Like,
no.
No. I've called my MP twice and left a message. I'm like, that'll teach you, you son of a bitch.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Oh. That's, like, nothing.
Oh, that's what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Other than making, like, a little sardonic tweet and Facebook status. No, yeah. No. And some stuff on stage. No. I'm, like, for me to, like, get involved in, like, actual political ideologies and stuff, like, I'm insecure. Like, I need to have proof that I'm a genius. I'm like so embarrassed because I'm the kind of guy that'll be super passionate about something for a month, and then I get totally turned around by new information.
Right, like, you want to show up at a rally and everyone's like, Chris Locke's here.
I want to be the star. Yeah. That's the thing. Oh, that's what I was gonna say. We grew up in a culture like the 2000s, like what you're talking about, the me, like,
yeah,
it's not funny enough, like the 80s was me culture, yeah, but it's like we've been in this sort of downward spiral of self-indulgent marketing BS since the late 60s.
And smaller, like,
yeah, niche markets is a total thing.
Yeah,
but yeah, like most human beings now grow up in North America, grow up not knowing how to be comfortable with themselves if they're not on a quest to be famous.
Yeah.
It's fucking bonkers. And that's why we're collecting likes, we're collecting followers, we're collecting like viewers, all this shit, all the fucking time, refreshing it, looking, blah, blah, blah. And what the fuck is life really about if that's what you're obsessed with 24/7?
And I was kind of thinking about that's a fucking awesome way of putting it, because I was thinking about that before, where we all became so obsessed with chasing our dreams. And it is that thing of like, it does come down to that, where it's like, the only value left in our world now is fame. And it is that weird little thing of like, and because of social media, we can get
fame
famous.
Is good.
Fame is good, and it's how you have value.
Yeah.
Like because it's not about like, you used to be able to like go to like church and like do good works and like shit like that. But now it's like, and because of social media, you can be famous in your social circle.
Yeah.
Like we can all kind of be a little famous. Yeah. Now, right?
Yeah.
That's why with a kind of reevaluation that I've had to have of like, of being like with, because after it all happened and I'm like, should I just become an activist? Should I just like work at the homeless shelter or something?
Yeah. But then I'm like, I need to read every book and punch every bad man.
Just roaming the streets, punching. Yeah. But then it's like, no, I want to be a creative person. There is value in there. I think it is something good. But it was also this thing of like, but I'm not going to worry as much about like, where's my career going and like all that shit. Cause I'm like, no, the art, the work that I do, that is what matters. That's like the thing that has value.
It sounds hokey and it's embarrassing to say out loud, but like after comedy shows, you always get people that are non-comedians telling you how much they love the show.
Yeah.
And how much they laughed and how much they needed that laugh.
Yeah.
As corny as it sounds, because you think that you're doing this like sort of self-indulgent endeavor, it does add something to our culture.
It totally does. And after Trump won, I noticed it like big time.
Yeah.
Like after shows, people were like pumped to be at shows. Yeah. They were having such a good time. It was like such a release valve. Like
it's a release valve.
It.
Yeah, we were in hell.
So
we're in hell.
Yeah, we're in hell, and we have little buckets of water, like tiny little buckets of water that we pour.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's nice. Oh, yeah. I'm on fire.
The famous thing too, I was thinking, is like maybe this is a I don't want to like, especially now, like I have a, you know, we have a family life. You know, Kathleen and I, and so we're just working people too, which I wasn't before. I was like this, like, yeah, I lived in a place, I paid rent, but I was always on this quest to further this career more and more. And I still am, but now it has a different meaning. But the thing is like, I don't also want to live a life where if I'm so compassionate about human beings coming together, and I love everybody, and I want everybody to feel the same way, and we come together. I don't also want to have this weird goal in my life where I'm also thinking of people that just live like a regular job. Right. I don't want to think of them as sad because that's all they do.
Right.
And that's the culture we live in. Yeah. The capitalist society is like, that's all you do?
Yeah.
You don't
have
any ambitions?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's so condescending, but we still, like, that's one of the hypocrisies of it all.
Well, and I always think
it's like, can't everyone come together and try to be the most famous?
Yeah, you must be. It's true. It's such a fucking, and it also, it makes you, it's this horrible ideal that you beat yourself up with, of this thing of like, you can't ever just, you know, appreciate your own life, because it's like, oh, it doesn't matter because no one knows about it, you know? And it's like,
yeah,
that's so crazy, because at the end of the day, nobody's gonna remember any of this shit. Like, you know, and fucking, even if we become like, even like in 2000 years, no one's gonna give a fuck that Chris Rock existed. You know, like,
man, I don't know.
He is,
yeah,
really,
no,
funny. He might make it 2000 years.
Yeah, I know. No, it's true, man. There were other playwrights writing plays when Shakespeare was alive.
Yeah, who were amazing.
Yeah,
and, you know, and having like a, you know,
who's the guy that wrote the Duchess of Malfi?
I have no
exactly.
idea. You got that?
No, I don't even remember.
And did you just make that play up?
No,
that's a real.
It's
play?
From that time. I'm pretty sure. Yeah,
I only know Marlowe. But he's the second most famous one, I guess.
That might be him.
We did it.
Yay.
We're pretty smart guys on a couch.
It's so funny. I think I was trying to write a joke about this, and I said it on stage a few times. But sometimes when you're like being this like real, you do split the audience, and it's completely reasonable.
Yeah.
But like, I was like,
do you tell them that? That was a reasonable reaction.
Probably. Knowing me. But yeah, they like, we were like, did you ever feel this way growing up? You're like, okay, Picasso. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Einstein. Yeah. Yeah. Or like, okay, Beethoven. Yeah, yeah. I'll try to be like Picasso or Beethoven.
Oh yeah, dude.
And then you kind of have that integrity,
yeah,
somewhat, but you kind of forget about it. And now you reach like 30 or something, and you're like, oops, I have a cheese brain that doesn't absorb as much.
So you,
like,
but you didn't, you never thought, you don't think when you're doing comedy, like, you're not shooting to be the best? Like, don't you think that quest kind of came around to comedy, like to be the Picasso of comedy, as it were? I'm thinking about how many nude scenes you do when I say you're the Picasso of comedy.
Yeah.
Just a little two-dimensional donger.
Very sad nude scenes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anytime I'm nude, it's my blue period. No, but like, yeah, so maybe like, I never have a quest to be the ultimate best, but I want a group of fans that think I'm the best of them. That'd be
right,
nice.
Right. Yeah. 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 I was talking to Nick Reynoldson about this.
I think. Yeah.
Cause he was like, he's another comic, and he wants money. And he's like, do you want money from this? I'm like, I want money, but I really, and I mean, this kind of goes back to like, this is like a bad thing or something, but I want a claim. That's what I want so bad.
Yeah.
I want to claim. So, and that feels gross and like needy, because I know it comes from like a needy, wanting to be loved place.
Yeah.
But that's basically what I want from this.
Yeah. And we should say Nick is a funny comedian too.
Oh, Nick, yeah. Nick's
He's not
hilarious.
Obviously just, but yeah, I know. Like, yeah, my friend Brian Barlow and I, when we first started, we started as a sketch troupe called The Gurg. And, I remember us having like meetings and like, you know, young and silly, like our mind frame was like, we don't need to be famous. We just want a cult following, like Mr. Show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now that I'm older, I can see like Mr. Show is one of the best things in the last 3 decades. And the acclaim they have is ginormous. Yeah.
And they're super fucking famous too.
And now they are, especially. Yeah. But at the time, you know.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, it was even before David Cross's big breakout stand-up album, too. But yeah,
oh, really?
Still.
Right.
Yeah, but still, yeah, they're like, they're goddamn brilliant geniuses.
That was my...
Everybody involved in that show.
That was my... David Cross's that album, that was like my... That was the...
Shut Up, You Fucking Baby?
Yeah, that was the thing that started it all. That was like the first one for me where I'm like, that's comedy, man. That's it right there.
Gabriel.
Yeah. Gabriel's going to rollerblade.
Yeah. Nobody's going to tell Gabriel what to do or whatever. Like, yeah. Yeah, I was like, wow.
Yeah, so good.
And the kid in the tree, like, Coca-Cola? American Coca-Cola? There's parts of that album where I bet you I unconsciously paraphrase on stage.
Oh, yeah. It was so, it's so locked in.
Or, like, even, like, the
phrasing?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, check it out, everyone. Check out David Cross.
Yeah,
check
shut up, you fucking baby.
Yeah.
It's funny because then I went through a really like big phase in like around 2008 or so of like not liking David Cross or Patton Oswalt that much because I was like, you guys are like, because you're not having fun. You're just ranting so much. And then I worked on a project and Patton Oswalt is always a way funnier ranter than Cross anyways.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cross has more anger. But then I worked on this project for a month in Washington, D.C. And being there and, you know, taking cabs and they have talk radio on and CNN being on all the time. I was like, oh, my God. Yeah. David Cross and Patton Oswalt are the exact remedy everyone needs down here.
Yeah.
It's such a different vibe from Canada to the States.
That is the thing. I was talking about my roommate where he was talking about, like, you know, how with America, it's like, the thing about America is it's like, it's huge. It's massive. Like, it's like the third most populous country in the world. And so we talk about America as if it's like rational kind of like,
I know,
country. Like if it wanted to, it could just be like Sweden, but it's like, filled with like 340 million people who are all way different than each other. They're all like, and it's like, there's a certain element of America that's always going to be like the Wild West. Like it's always going to be kind of fucking crazy. And
Yeah, it is like just like we're looking at it through these kind of weird perspective for sure. I was reading this new book that everybody needs to read called The Sellout by Paul Beattie.
Oh, I have it on the library is going to send it to me.
You have to read it.
It's so good
because
right?
I want to talk about it.
I'm sorry.
With people. But yeah, it's incredibly funny. But you learn something, you know, every 2 seconds.
Really? I've heard it's amazing.
But in the book, he describes Toronto, you know, hometown pride.
Oh, yeah.
As,
yeah. The six?
As, like, he talks about, like, Americans wanting to move to Toronto. And they're like, it's just as urban, even though they know it's, like, not as urban.
Right, right, right.
It's, like, safe urban.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then I was like, sort of like a knee-jerk reaction because this is my home, and I was like, hey,
we got bad areas.
Yeah, we're like, but he's totally right.
Oh yeah, man,
all of Canada is like a nice beach compared to America.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you can feel it. Like the last time I was in New York, it just felt like I'm like, oh, I could just die in this city and no one would notice or care. Like it's like there's a harshness in the air when you're in America where it's just like, I mean, my brother and I were driving through Michigan.
You'd die on the street, and they'd be like, hey, do you need directions, buddy?
To hell?
Yeah, do you need directions to the dirt?
And they got, like, billboards about, like, guns and God everywhere. Like, it's a bit of a mad country.
Madhouse.
It's a madhouse.
Yeah, that's what Charlton Heston was really talking about. He was like, it's a madhouse in Planet of the Apes, and then he looked at the camera and winked.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, but you were driving through Michigan?
Oh, no, and that was just the thing.
Billboards.
You notice all the billboards. Yeah, yeah. It's like, holy fuck. Like, every billboard is, like, intense.
Yeah, so we have to be more honest when we talk about this stuff about the Canadian POV. And as I was watching some of our satirical comedy shows recently in Canada, we have about 3 sort of political satirical comedy shows in Canada.
Yeah.
And we also have our own shit here.
Yeah.
And none of those shows ever talk about it.
Yeah, we don't talk
about
our own
shit.
It's
so embarrassing. We live in like this little, small, sort of like brand new baby country.
Well, I was at, I think about it in the way of, so the Women's March protest happened, and there was like 60,000 people in Toronto, the one that happened in Toronto.
Uh-huh.
And then there was like a protest against Trudeau lying about electoral reform on Saturday. There's like couple hundred people. Like it's just like that's the thing about Canada where it's like
even the protests have to be like a Canadian version of an American successful thing.
Exactly. Like we only give a shit about it if it's an American problem.
It's because one of the shows that's on TV now, for the listeners that don't know, one of them is called The Beaverton, which literally got its start as like, hey, we're the Canadian The Onion.
yeah Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Everything needs to be like, we're the Canadian version of this American successful thing.
Yeah, we can only, it has to be noticed by America or from America for it to matter to us, which is like fucked
yeah.
up.
Yeah, Trudeau has, I genuinely think he has humanity in him. I don't think that's yes. a lie, but yeah. he has lied about everything.
He's, yeah, he's broken like every promise. And he's doing that thing that Obama did where he's going to fuck us over if he doesn't actually use like what was a huge mandate for him, for people wanting a different kind of thing. And if he,
yeah.
and it's like, if it's all like incremental and small, like eventually there's just going to be a big fucking demon who comes along. Who's like, oh, fuck Muslims. And people are going to be like, sure, why not?
Yeah. God, like Kelly Leach or
yeah.
O'Leary or something.
Yeah.
And the news has already been like, the Conservatives had their first debate with Kevin O'Leary. Like, they're like oh, already saying his name above everybody else.
Oh, they can't help it. They can't help it.
As so what just, do you think the pressure is with Canadian politicians? Just because you're a smart guy.
What do you mean?
Why do we have no idealism left anymore in politics?
I think it's the same in America where it's like money. I think it's yeah. like, we don't, but that's the thing that's tough about it in Canada. We don't know. Like, at least in America, you know who your evil billionaires are. I mean, especially now because they're all in, like, Trump's cabinet or whatever. But like, even outside of that, that was a fucking bullshit. Like,
they're everywhere.
Hacky. Yeah. But
yeah, when is the president of the United States just going to be Lockheed Martin?
Just a jet?
Just a missile sitting at the desk.
But like, you do know who your evil corporations are, you know, but in Canada, we don't really know. Like,
yeah.
it's so much, but it is there. Like,
it was kind of getting close near the end of Harper.
Yeah, Harper was getting pretty evil.
Yeah, because you're kind of being like, oh, you're so just pandering to your friends.
Yeah, yeah.
But now Trudeau is like, he sort of, yeah.
Like, there's like, I was just reading today, it's like, I think that guy from the Toronto Star, Daniel Dale, he's like, here are the people that are going with Trudeau to meet Trump. And it's like all these CEOs of like General Electric Canada and all these different huge corporations that we don't really know about. And it's like, yeah, like in Canada, because we're so focused on America and we watch all these documentaries about how messed up America's system is, we don't know who are the people here applying pressure and like limiting kind of change and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. To be honest, this is where some of my giant bookshelf inferiority complex comes from, but I am on a new mission now to understand just that. Don't yet, but like
but you're on the mission.
But I've been really, really stressing about this exact same thing recently. It's like, man, I fucking let this shit slide so much. And there's a part of me where it's like, why do I need to know it though? I'm a fucking goof that likes right. Drinking a beer with the pals, whatever. But like,
because if we know it and every time we're having beers with our pals,
we could talk about it.
We're just talking about it every once in a while, you know?
Yeah.
It gets like a little... And I think that's what it sounds small, but I think that'll be pretty big if we just kind of talk about it more.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, man, we do not live in a world right now where political talk should be as like surface level as like weather talk.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
should be a little bit more like... Yeah, yeah, this is bad.
Yeah, this is bad. Have you done anything? And then we can all be like, no, but at least we'll like kind of start, you know, if we...
That's why when I watch some of these satirical news shows...
Chris just winked at me.
No, I don't know. I can't really... Like, it's... Everybody... We're all trying to make stuff. It's very nice.
Yeah.
But I do get angry because... And you know, everything is always directed at... I take it personal, like... personally, like, reflect back at me, like, we gotta try harder.
Yeah,
we can't just be little ding dong like, look, I wrote a joke and like it's the same quality as a Bazooka Joe gum wrapper. We need to fucking grit.
Yeah.
We need to be brazen.
Yeah.
And I know that we think that being like outwardly critical threatens the idea of having regular income,
right.
But how many more people would respond to that?
Yeah, if we just had a little bit more of like a little bit more of that sort of, I guess, American attitude of like, like, hey, no, that's shit. You got to know that shit, or, you know?
Yeah, it's like, well, David Cross was already like famous, but I remember when he used to just go on the attack of Larry the Cable Guy,
yeah,
a hack comedian that invented a redneck character to pander to actual rednecky people, as they would probably call themselves.
Yeah, with pride.
With pride. Yeah. And you know, in a way, he probably went over the top because Larry the Cable Guy, I don't even know his real name. Yeah. Stephen
Duckworth.
Stephen Gisord. Stephen Sword Daddy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's just
Finnish. It's a Finnish last name.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just trying to make a buck or whatever. Yeah, he's just, and he is entertaining people. But I kind of respected that to weirdly cite David Cross again.
Yeah.
You know?
Like to go after that.
That was the early 2000s. But yeah.
Things were different then.
Yeah.
It was a time where the craziest thing you'd care about was attacking a comedian.
Well, after 9/11, there were a few comedians that were like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to say the thing.
Yeah. 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 And then there were some other comedians that went the other way and they were like, I'm for a police state now. Let's do this thing.
Dennis Miller.
Yeah. It's
insane because I was too young to understand his politics on Weekend Update.
Yeah.
But that was really crazy. He was still obviously funny.
Yeah, he was super smart, but then he just went fucking loco from it. It just hit him.
Uh-huh.
It just got him.
I will never, yeah.
I mean, it got all of us, man. This all comes back to 9/11. Like, Osama bin Laden fucking destroyed America with that shit. Like,
9/11 was the real bubble burst.
Yeah, and it's all been happening since then. Like, all this shit that we're in now. It
also is around the same time Saturday morning cartoons ended.
You think it's connected?
Yeah, it's like...
I see what's happening here.
Children were like, what's the point?
Yeah. I think I'm going to go crash a plane into a building.
Oh, my God.
Well, there we go.
It was like, it was shocking to the max. But yeah, I guess you're right. This is all like this weird giant tumbling runoff because even when I think like, oh, this is like Trump and his cabinet is a result of Occupy. Occupy was 2011.
Yeah, so long ago.
This is 2017, which was also.
And the Arab Spring too, same time.
Yeah, which doesn't matter anymore.
No, it went horribly awry.
And then, which we should all be studying even more.
Yeah.
Now, but like, yeah, in Occupy, it was still a run, like a reaction from 2008.
Yeah, dude.
So this is all like So if you think like, oh, we're not in the fire now, just look at how it slowly cooks in the last 15 years.
Like you look at so basically, 2001, 9/11 happens. Then Iraq is invaded in 2003, and so then you kind of have this is like that. You know, it's 1929, you know, and and then it kind of builds up to that. Like it took that whole decade of the recession. Like Donald Trump doesn't happen without the recession, you know, like, and the recession doesn't happen without sort of the policies that happened after 9/11 and some of the shit before too. So it didn't come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
We were building up to it. It was happening, you know?
Yeah.
Cause I remember watching all these documentaries when I was in university that were about like inequality in the States and like and how bad the education system was, and it's like in like 10 12 years it's gonna get really fucked up here, and then it's like, yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah,
you know, like all the documentaries I watched in university are right. It was just
you
like,
could feel it too, like it was palpable.
Yeah,
it's so funny because I was like, oh, is there like even out around 2008 even you have this gut feeling that grows and grows, and same with Occupy, you're like, and everybody's sharing videos of Zizek or whatever. And you're like,
with his weird mouth.
And you're like, what's going on? Stop touching your head. What's going on here? And then, but I literally like his jive or whatever.
His jive. I like hearing jive there, Zizek.
Yeah, I'm hip, Zizek, like
the,
you.
The jive and Zizeks.
I forgot. I was going to say another word and I couldn't think of it. But the thing is like, you feel this thing growing and like, it's just in the air. The tension's there. You're sort of smiling, pretending like you're living it. But so I was like, oh, so I was thinking like, maybe the revolution that felt like it was bubbling up, it did actually happen.
It did.
Just wasn't our revolution.
Yeah, exactly. That's what's fucking terrifying. The revolution happened, but it happened in another way.
Because they just started gutting the White House.
Yeah.
And making brash executive orders. And that's how fucking...
And he's doing it because he was... That was his popular mandate.
Yeah.
His mandate, people wanted him to, the people that voted for him wanted him to do this shit.
And like, regular Joes sat at, like in urban areas like us or whatever, heavily populated major cities, sat there going, no, no.
No, no, no. He's going to do what we all do where we're kind of, we smile and wink at the rules that we have set up, or there's like a sort of civility that goes around, but it's like, but we're all just kind of gonna go along with it. And then after fucking like with the Tea Party and all that shit, that was the revolution happening, but it happened on the right. It didn't happen on the left, because the left, because we all fucking, we got self-indulgent. We wanted to be famous.
We wrote them off as the fringe. We laughed at the Tea Party.
Yeah.
We laughed at the birther movement.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say we. I mean, like, we're talking about America here, but like, yeah, we're mostly like liberal-minded here, obviously, in Toronto. But yeah, it's like,
that was like the popular revolt that
we literally thought of them as like the Insane Clown Posse.
Actually,
like, sure. What are those freak fests they have? Those concerts,
the Juggalo,
the Gathering of the Juggalos.
Yeah, yeah.
That's as big as I thought it was.
Oh yeah, we didn't think it was anything, and then it was like, it was the whole,
like, maybe Ice Cube will perform.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you'll be like, "What's Ice Cube doing down there? That's crazy."
Yeah, they asked.
I didn't know you were a Juggalo, Ice Cube.
He was like, "Yeah, they asked me."
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
I don't know.
But yeah, it happened on the other side. And it is, I think it's because of that thing of like, we, like you're saying, like, we spend a little too much time being like, I want to be famous. Like, we're on the left, we're all like, we're going to be creative and we're going to be successful. We're on the right, I think because one, they didn't have anything. They were just like, their towns are shit. And fucking their lives are broken.
Or, you know what? I listened to this podcast the other day, and they were making it. It was a history podcast. I guess we're on a podcast too.
Whoa,
I totally forgot.
What a hall of mirrors. I totally forgot.
Wow.
Yeah, there's no way out of this.
Out of this.
What was the
out
podcast?
Out of this.
Doesn't matter. Listen to the podcast.
It was it's called History Matters. It just started. It's three episodes deep, but they're really great because they're professors, and they're cool, and like they compare history to illustrate kind of what's happening now.
Yeah.
So in a way, one of their episodes is really good because everyone's like, "This is Hitler. This is the fall of Rome."
Yeah,
and they were like, "Well, let's talk about how there are elements that look like that."
Yeah.
But also each thing that happened in history is different.
Yes, exactly.
So it's kind of quells the hysteria to a degree.
Yeah.
But still makes you realize like everything happens differently, but there are things to be aware of.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
But yeah, like, no, go ahead.
But they said a good thing about like, cause some of these small towns where people like us from urban areas, it's so funny because I'm just basically talking about another podcast on my podcast.
Just reiterating it.
But I mean, it's same if I read it from a book or an article.
Yeah, just
but
say
like,
you read it in a book.
I read this in a very huge book on my shelf.
Yeah, massive.
Dripping in my own jizz. God damn it. But yeah, one thing we don't think, like, okay, so we think of them as like mud-eating shit dogs.
Right.
at our worst, drunken, most...
Yeah, that's what I yell at them. Yeah.
No, you know, I don't think anything like that. But like, you know, we can be judgmental. Mm-hmm. And but a lot of those towns aren't brutalized, some of them.
Yeah.
But they worry about the future because the industry has left. And so they're you know, they're scrounging around a bit, but they're still like mediocre.
Yeah, it is that thing of like, there's... When people talk about the working class that went out for Trump, would people have it all confused, because like working class means a lot of time like blue collar, which means you're actually making pretty good money.
Yeah.
Like, these are people who like own a house, but they're worried that the mortgage is going to get too much, but they're like in the middle class, you know.
Yeah.
So they're not super poor. Poor people voted for Hillary for the most part.
That's one of the biggest mistakes of the left, is they totally instantly turn it into, look, the people from Deliverance voted. It's like, that's bad.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. It's a wide variety of people who felt, you know. But then it's also so complicated, because I'm like, I get that. I get being economically anxious. I get that you feel like no one's listening to you. But then at the same time, don't be fucking racist.
Don't be fucking racist. Don't be xenophobic. Meet new people.
Yeah.
Don't be homophobic. Let your wife get a job too.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
or no, I don't know. See, now we're maybe being judgmental again.
No,
obviously not everyone is racist, but the fear of ISIS has definitely been beat over a lot of people's heads.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's like it's melted into your brain.
Yeah.
Like the fear of the Cold War.
Exactly. It's the same kind of thing. Yeah. It's the same thing where Russia is always around the corner. They're going to destroy us. Right?
Yeah. Like, think about that. In like the 70s or 80s, like if a kid was like, I'm learning how to play the flute, they're like, you're a pinko scum. And they're like, why? And they're like, I don't know. It's just, you know, different.
Look how many holes are on that thing. Come on.
Yeah. There should be more holes.
Yeah. If that was the capitalist flute, it would be all holes.
It would just be a kid holding a hole. With limitless possibilities. Yeah,
then you're a freedom fighter. With your hole flute.
Capitalism is a hole that you can hold that you can put your own body into.
That was deep.
Deep hole.
That was a deep hole. Let's get in that hole. Play a song.
I don't know. Maybe we should wrap this up because it's just gotten...
Yeah, it's gotten all over the place.
It's unraveled. But
just like America.
Yeah. Well, just like the planet, to be
great
honest.
Book, if we're going to talk, can I recommend a book?
Yeah.
The Unraveling by George Packer. It's like a history book. It's kind of all about how it got to this.
Wow.
Fucking so good. Mwah. And he does little chapters where it's kind of like, he like writes about like Jay-Z and Oprah and stuff like that. Like he does like little things about celebrities and how they fit into this bigger narrative.
It totally fits.
Yeah. Oh, dude, it's so goddamn good.
Kanye is like, the concept of Kanye is... Yeah, the past 10, 15 years.
Right. Like his whole career arc?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he also, like, I think all that stuff is like, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Anyways.
Cool. George Packard.
George Packard, The Unraveling.
And The Sellout by Paul Beatty. Sellout.
And Brief History of Seven Killings.
Yeah. I can't remember if we talked about it recording or while it was paused.
I'm just confusing people. So,
Brief History of Seven Killings is
so good.
What's his name?
Man.
Marlon James or something?
Yeah,
because it keeps showing up on lists of stuff I want to read.
Yeah, dude, you'll love it.
Woo!
Is that why people listen to this podcast, for book recos?
I don't know why anyone listens to this. And this was a nice long.
Yeah,
juicy,
we'll find out. We'll find out.
Juicy episode. Oh my god! Yeah, we talked for a long time. But that was good. So basically, your utopia
is robots letting us play jazz.
Well, also, in a way, we have to play jazz to entertain the robots while they do all our dirty work.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I like that.
Do we stop playing jazz ever?
Yeah, no, we can do whatever we want. We can make a delicious sandwich. We're just.
Oh, I guess the robots have it ready for us.
Yeah, the robots just encourage us to enjoy our sensual delights, whether it's musical. Taste, you know?
This is the exact kind of bullshit the far right doesn't want to hear some snowflake cuck rattling on about.
Sensual delights. Hey, listen, you porky fuck. Just enjoy your sensual delights. You dirt pig working class fuck.
Yeah. Come to the basement. I'm going to show you my guns.
Also, I'm from a steel town. I can hate on those fuckers. You know,
oh.
I am an urban elite. Look at my glasses. I got big stupid ass glasses. I went to university, but I am also from one of those places. So
yeah.
My empathy only goes so far.
Ah, interesting. Because
I'm like, yeah, I get it. I know what these places look like, and it's in Canada, so it's not nearly.
See, because I'm from here, so I worry that I'm too sheltered, like judgmental.
Yeah, like I'm from these places, so it's both like, yeah, it's tough, but it's also like
get it together.
Yeah, exactly.
Get a tech company. Do you have anything to promote?
I guess my album comes out on the 17th. February
March.
The 17th.
Oh, February.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're still in February.
Yep,
this will be out on the 15th, I believe.
Oh, perfect.
15th or 16th. So,
we're
good.
2 days later, check it out.
Check out Jordan Foyce's, and it's called...
Standing on the Edge of Unthinkable Anxiety.
Which seems pretty relevant.
Something my therapist said it.
Really?
Yeah. And I took it. I was like, that's a good comedy.
Oh, amazing.
Album. Yeah.
Okay. Well, did you have fun hanging out?
Dude, this is great. Chair was comfy. Your baby's lovely.
Thank you.
Bookshelf is gratifying.
It's hearty.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me, dude.
All right, everyone. That was Jordan Foyce. Jordan, thanks for coming on and hanging out on my couch with my cats and my baby crying and all that tea. And thanks for unloading your mind onto this podcast. And thanks for humoring me. It was a fun time. Everybody, follow Jordan at Jordan Foyce on Twitter. His last name, Foisy. And to find out more about like these tours we were talking about and the album coming out like pretty much the end of this week, I believe. And as we said, and so much more. So there you go. So follow him. That was a super thorough hang session. Sure, the utopian world wasn't built to the max. Oh, there I go again, to the max. I'm going to cut my tongue out next time I say it. But there, all these utopian-ish style topics were discussed, as I'm sure you've noticed. So there we go. Follow us at Utopia to Me, and follow me at Chris Locke Fun. And look, I'm going to Florida for a bit, so I'm going to put my feet up on the beach, and I hope you guys enjoy these. Pass them around. Follow us on Twitter. Tell everyone about it. Review us on iTunes. Say nice things. Give us stars. All of that stuff. You guys are great. Get out of the lake. Dry off. Put the towel around you, and put the earbuds back in and keep listening. Thanks for coming back from swimming, skating, whatever you did. And here we are. Go outside and get warm underneath a nice big tree and enjoy the planet. Thank you. Bye. We'll be right back.